Greetings, family and extended family. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we've done, I said we, but because I'm including all of us, like you guys are with me. It's a team effort. I really appreciate everyone. And yeah, so anyways, we've got a new episode. Today we're going to be looking at what is Event 201. So yeah, let's get into it. I hope everybody is doing awesome swimmingly. And yeah, let's go over and over. Let's get into it. Okay.
Mark, T-minus 1 minute and continuing to count. A water deluge system now has been turned on, activated at the pad area. Pressurization taking place now. The various tanks aboard the vehicle being pressurized. Switching to internal power. All stages switching now to internal power. All propellant tanks being pressurized. Count continuing smoothly. The water at the pad covering the flame deflectors now. We passed the 30-second mark. Water also will be coming on to the decks of the mobile launcher at the ignition point. T-minus 20 seconds, and the countdown continues to go smoothly. Guidance release, T-minus 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. We have ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And we have a liftoff. The Skylab lifting off the pad now, moving up. Skylab is toward the tower.
Houston is now controlling. The 18 seconds pitch and roll program started. SIDAR now maneuvering to its proper flight path attitude. Mark 25 seconds.
Some sound in the background, keeping it real. The first thing we're going to do, I'm just going to go ahead and read through what Event 201, I guess real quick, first of all, let me give you guys a recap on it, and then I'm going to read off of the website and tell you what, just from straight from the horse's mouth, primary source first. And then we will go from there. I'll try to find... I read on Wikipedia recently that people are into secondary sources now instead of going to the primary source, because just quoting the primary source could potentially lead to what are called novel interpretations. Period. So anyways, we'll read just straight from the horse's mouth without any interpretation of it. And then I'll see. I'm going to try to scoop up some secondary sources, but, anyways, we'll have some more to look at after this first section. But, okay, so really quick, this is my recap of what Event 201 is. It occurred in October 19th. I think it was when it launched, but it was in October. Yeah. On October 18th, 2019 in New York, they hosted a planned exercise for a hypothetical pandemic. This was, if I don't know if it, you may or may not have heard of something called COVID-19, which took place, was announced a month after this. So the first case was discovered about a month after this exercise, which is just so convenient and coincidental. But okay, let's go ahead. I'm here on the website, centerforhealthsecurity.org. And it says Event 201 Tabletop Exercise. This training tabletop exercise is based on a fictional scenario. The inputs experts used for modeling the potential impact were fictional. It is a teaching and training resource for public health and government officials. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic exercise, on October 18, 2019, in New York, New York. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. Well, let's see, I'll skip through. There's a, they kind of give some context. They're talking about what's been going on in recent years with epidemics and basically giving the reason why they believe with that, because at this time there was no COVID-19, why they believe that it was important for them at this time to do a practice run. Let's see, it was a 3.5 hour pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated a series of dramatic, scenario-based, facilitated discussions confronting difficult, true-to-life dilemmas associated with response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible pandemic. The exercise consisted of pre-recorded news broadcasts, live staff briefings, and moderated discussions on specific topics. They say the purpose was, oh, that's again what I was just summing up before. In recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events. And that's why they had to do this. That's why they had to do this exercise. So I'm scrolling through, I read through this earlier, but I noticed, and it only makes sense this way, right? There's no mention of COVID-19. So, if there was a, there was like a big COVID, this is just my opinion here. If there was a pandemic that happened, then that would give, like, if COVID-19 happened, at that point, it would really make sense for us to have exercises in case this happens again. And that's what they're saying is that, oh, there have been these small pandemic events. But that's not what I'm thinking. Like, I know that before the financial crisis, there was no need, like, the government never saw for, excuse me, the government never foresaw the need to do an exercise for something like the financial crisis. I would suggest that in the same way, the only way that we would really be motivated, that the government or anyone else would be motivated to develop practices, like best practices, and to run training exercises would be if there had been an event. So it's, I can't think of any other word besides coincidental to explain how a month before the global pandemic, these guys knew to do an exercise. Just seems kind of crazy. This will be the end of this segment here, but in case you guys want to see the website for yourself, it is Central Health, oh, excuse me, C I apologize, centerforhealthsecurity.org. You can also just Google Event 201, John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health is the company whose website this information is on, and this is the primary source. We will see you guys in the next section here. Okay, we're going to check out a couple secondary sources, and this is a little bit, I guess we call it sticky, because there were several groups involved. So I'm going to first cite some of the other groups, like the World Economic Forum, because technically they're not the ones who did the event. So I will be citing some people. I think that's correct. I think we're into semantics now. I think, like I said, the event itself was run by, this is semantics. It was held in New York, which is not where the World Economic Forum is. So by deduction, we can logically infer that the World Economic Forum is not the hosting party. So I guess we can argue about whether this first one is the second source or not, but I'm going to quote it anyways, just for context. They've got a few bullet points on their website. They mentioned that the world has seen a growing, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events amounting to about 200 per year, end quote. So I'll just make a little remark on that. First of all, that was also mentioned by the John Hopkins website. And the issue with this, the point I made at the end of the last segment, for me at least, is that none of these pandemics that they mentioned, the average of 200 epidemic events per year, none of those were a global epidemic. And this exercise was an exercise specifically for a global epidemic, a global pandemic. So the fact that both websites cite that cite this 200 per year average epidemic event thing doesn't really actually explain why they exercise for a global event. Because a global event would be a precedent. So COVID-19, for instance, is a precedent for having a global pandemic exercise. But a localized pandemic exercise is not a precedent for having a global pandemic exercise. It would be a good reason for them to do localized training exercises. That would make sense. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan for global exercises. Obviously, COVID showed us that we should. All I'm pointing out is that when this exercise took place, there was no precedent for a global pandemic, at least in the recent past at all. So it's just a little bit interesting. They didn't practice for a localized pandemic, which is what they used to explain the precedent. They practiced for a global pandemic, which is what in fact was pushed onto or released by some force a month after this exercise. Again, there's only one word in the English language that explains this, and that word is coincidence. And for whatever that's worth, whatever you think that means, there you go. It's an interesting coincidence. Okay, so I'm going through here still. Geneva, Switzerland. John Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum. I already read that from the other site. So this is pretty much verbatim quotes on both sites. So I guess, again, like I said, using the World Economic Forum as a secondary source is probably sticky, and we probably could argue about that all day because it was really a joint exercise, I guess. So anyway, so you could consider that as part of the last segment. I included it as a second source, but let's go. I'm going to pick kind of a random Snopes type site that's extremely popular for Google. This is the second Google result when I searched Event 201. It gives, anyway, I'll just, again, I'll quote the first line from fullfact.org. Event 201, excuse me, quote, Event 201 was an exercise organized in October 19 to simulate what might happen if there was a severe pandemic. And then they go on and say, that would be end quote, excuse me, and then they go on to say, requote, we've been asked by readers to look into whether it really happened, why it wasn't covered in the media, and whether it's simply a coincidence that it took part just months before the COVID-19 pandemic started. The event was real, but the fact that it took place, I'm still quoting here, the event was real, but the fact that it took place just before the pandemic started doesn't mean the organizers had any secret knowledge, which has been suggested by some, end quote. Now, I would say that from here, I agree that we have to use deduction to explain, to correlate the two events. Because, like I said, the only word that works, and it's pretty interesting. I didn't even look at this website before I started the recording, but even they used the word coincidence. So we admit that there's a connection there that's beyond the normal pale of events. That's why we call it a coincidence. So they're saying that, and I agree that we can't say for 100% certain that the organizers had any quote unquote secret knowledge. I agree with that. However, the only other explanations that could exist would need to exist. So we can go through, I'll sit here and just hypothetically try to imagine a scenario where they would coincidentally predict to practice this training exercise, right? Like maybe the only thing I can think of is maybe somebody who knew that this was coming suggested that we need to be prepared for this thing. But again, that would technically still be a conspiracy because conspiracies aren't necessarily, they often are, but are not necessarily evil. So, since we can't accept any conspiracy theories, right? Like we're just rejecting any conspiracy theory, just on the fact that it's a conspiracy theory, then we can't accept that second possibility. So we're still left with the only explanation is either there was foreknowledge, secret foreknowledge of the event by the planners, or it was, as the website and myself have already said, simply a coincidence. And again, that, I don't know. I guess I would love to go into coincidences more, but I want to treat this fairly and try to reach as many people as possible. So, we're going to move on to one more section. I've been getting a lot of complaints about the music, so we'll see if when I put this up, if there's music between this and the next segment, enjoy it. Otherwise, we'll see you in the next segment either way. Okay. Okay. We're back here, the final segment of the exploration of Event 201. I'm gonna give you guys a couple of definitions of the English, two English words. So the first word we're gonna look at is coincidence. I pulled up the dictionary definition, the Oxford Dictionary definition. It says the first definition is a remarkable concurrence of events or circumstances without apparent causal connection. It gives a similar word being similar to chance or accident. And then I'll just, okay, they'll read the second definition is correspondence in nature or in time of occurrence. There's a a use, they give an example use, the coincidence of interest between the mining companies and certain politicians. And the similar word they give is co-occurrence. And I've got another definition right here. It's the second source definition. It says an occasion when two or more things happen at the same time, especially in a way that is unexpected or unlikely, or the unlikely fact of such things happening at the same time. So the reason that this applies to the Event 201 and COVID-19 pandemic is, as explained earlier in the previous segment, the fact of how unlikely it would be to predict an event before it happened without any foreknowledge of the event. We would call that, by definition, there's several things you could call that. You could call that premonition. If we get into like magical thinking and stuff, we could call that predicting the future, or as a Christian, I believe in prophecy. So you could say maybe somebody prophesied it. But specifically, anyone who's, I mean, setting aside us Christians, everybody else would agree, I think, that, and again, setting aside magical thinking for, you know, all you magical thinking people are similar to us Christians in the sense that your viewpoint is not taken very seriously by the majority of people. So setting aside the unlikely possibility of magical thinking and prophecy, there are, as laid out in this last segment, there are only two real possibilities that seem imaginable at all. Either, as suggested before by fullfact.org, the concept that the planners had secret knowledge of the event beforehand, which is arguably what prophecy is, but there's a little bit of a difference. I'll explain that the difference between prophecy and secret foreknowledge is that prophecy is a form. I guess prophecy is a form. You could get semantic about it. Prophecy is a form of secret foreknowledge, in the sense that the Bible is given. So Bible prophecy, the Bible gives us, tells us about events before they happen. But there's no evidence. It doesn't come from the world. So it's not, the difference is when we say secret foreknowledge in the case of John Hopkins, World Economic Forum, Bill Gates Foundation. When we say secret foreknowledge in that context, what we're actually talking about is physical world knowledge. If you knew that the cops were coming to arrest your family member and you told them about it, you heard about that from a friend in the police department, let's say, then that would be secret foreknowledge. Whereas if you had a dream that your family member is going to get taken away by police, that would be considered like prophecy. So, or if the Bible tells you that, you know, for that, that's kind of a weird one. But if the Bible told you that the police are going to come arrest your family member, that would again be prophecy, because you're not getting that from any actual knowledge of events taking place. I hope people see the difference between there. I agree they're synonymous in some ways. They're very similar. But I don't think synonymous means, that words are interchangeable. I think that synonyms have even a synonym has a slightly different meaning. We use synonyms as contextual understanding. And there's very few words, if any words, that are truly completely interchangeable. Every synonym has a slightly different meaning to it. So the point I wanted to make about that actually is that, again, if we take logic, if we think about this from a non-informed perspective and just judge this by our own best understanding and logic, reason, our best faculties, just looking at this just from plain two human eyes, then we have to say, there's a colloquialism that says that the most likely scenario is usually the real one. So the definition of coincidence, as we pointed out, is coincidence is defined by its unlikeliness. Therefore, any other explanation is going to be, as long as it's within reason and within the workings of the physical world, we know coincidence is not likely. That's the definition of it. It's literally defined as something that is not likely. So we can recognize and even judge the level of coincidence by how unlikely it is. But it's defined by unlikely. So in any situation, we can basically deduct. Like, we can basically look at these two things, and any plausible explanation besides coincidence is usually going to be the true thing. In fact, in courts of law, if I went into a court of law and I said there was a coincidence, that it's just a coincidence that you found the murder weapon in the home of my client, and someone else said, well, here's how that, like, if someone could give a plausible scenario how that weapon got into the house, or even if they don't, it's just a lot more likely that it wasn't a coincidence. And unless there's some reasonable explanation, we just know that it's not a coincidence. So carrying that over into this, unless we can come up with some plausible explanation for how these parties knew to practice this event, to have this exercise beforehand, that doesn't include secret foreknowledge, we have to assume the secret foreknowledge over the coincidence, because it's just reasonable thinking. It's just common sense. It's how everything works in this world. It would be silly in any other context for us to assume coincidence when there is a better explanation, when there's a more likely explanation. And in this case, we can all imagine at least one other more likely situation than a coincidence, and that is secret knowledge. Knowledge of the event before it happened. I said I was going to give a second definition, but I realize now how effective this segment was, so I'm going to just go ahead and cut it off here. I apologize, this episode was kind of on the fly, as they all kind of are, so hope everyone was able to follow along. Yeah, we had fun. All right. All righty beans, everybody. So to recap, we took a look today at what is Event 201. We saw that Event 201 was a planned exercise for a global pandemic that took place just a month before the COVID-19 global pandemic outbreak. We covered some secondary sources, and we also we looked up the definition of coincidence, and we compared that with secular common sense things. So we use things that everyone in society, every accepted member of society uses, what we call common sense in English. We use that to take a look at the situation. I hope that this was enlightening for a lot of people. I've never heard of Event 201 until today, and so I like could not do the episode. I YouTubed it, And I didn't find any videos, and that was crazy to me. So yeah, I hope this gets, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've broadcast, so I don't know how long it's going to take for this to get to the ears of the important parties. But I hope you guys will, I hope this gets carried through and we get some big voices talking about this pretty soon, because it's really interesting. I think we got to be obviously kind of careful about how you approach the subject, because it's very easy to write off as conspiracy before you look at it. So if we can get people, if we can get people to really see what is going, see what happened, you know, I think common sense usually kicks in. So I also think a lot of people knew about it, and you know, I think after this episode, if you can really look at this with someone and you get it and they don't, I think that you are now in a position to challenge them and ask them whether they're really being honest with you or not. I think a lot more people besides the World Economic Forum, besides the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and besides John Hopkins University, knew about this beforehand. I think we know about a lot of other stuff like Agenda 2021, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, all these things that are labeled as conspiracy theories without looking into them. We all know this stuff is out there. And I think we need to get to a point where we can really divide between who is uninformed and who's being deceptive. And I think that will help you in your relationships and moving forward and in your work with whatever good stuff you guys are up to. And I hope that anyone who is up to something that they know that they shouldn't be doing, you know, you probably should stop. So, yeah, and if not, you guys, you know what's coming. So, all right, God bless you guys. Over and out.
Hello. Howdy, howdy.
Say again.